The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by IBM Watson, combining AI with Internet of Things data to help growers increase yields, improve quality, and drive sustainability.
It's Crockpot Engage over the Midwest. I guess trade talks with China have already resumed. Iran is making more nuke juice as Trump makes nice with North Korea. And are we really going to put a tariff on scotch? Not the scotch! It's getting real out there, people. Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll talk with Roxy Beck from the Center for Food Integrity. Then I want to get Jim Wiesmeyer's thoughts on, well, let's just let him decide. Then Justin Kern from the American Red Cross will drop by. And, of course, your Tuesday dose of sweet Apodophilus, Mike Opperman from Farm Journal's Milk. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. Thanks for tuning in on this Tuesday morning. I hope everything is well with you. I'm your pal, handsome newsman, Davis Michelson, filling in for the vacationing Chip Flory. He will be out for the remainder of this week, but back next week. But we've got some great stuff to talk about today. Because it's a holiday week, we won't be having our Friday free-for-all. But the good news is, I've convinced Jim Wiesmeyer to come and spend some time with us. That'll be coming up a little bit later on in the show here today, too. And we've got Roxy Beck from the Center for Food Integrity talking about what the message is, what some of the perceptions are outside of farm country of agriculture, both big and small operations. I'm interested to see what she has to say. And then, of course, Justin Kern, you know what I always say, safety first, people. Well, Justin Kern from the American Red Cross will drop by just to put a bug in our ear as we come up to a summertime holiday where people get thirsty and decide that they need to play with gunpowder. I think it's a well-timed segment. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. Once again, thanks for joining us. Looks like skies are mostly clear over the Midwest, although northern Michigan there, a little bit into northeastern Wisconsin's getting a little bit of rain. Doesn't look like anything too severe. A line of showers across central Oklahoma into western Arkansas, making its way across the southeast there. You can go ahead and join the conversation at any point today, 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. Those are our digits. Or, if you'd prefer, like yesterday I said, I'm a one-man show here, but I'm going to call up Twitter right now. You can hashtag your tweet, AgriTalk, and hopefully I'll be able to see it in time to speak with our experts and relay your question to them. So before we do anything else, let's get to today's news headlines where USDA has announced, and we brought this up yesterday as the news broke, but USDA has announced it will provide market facilitation coverage for Prevent plant acres in 2019. That, according to NRCS Chief Matthew Lohr. NRCS also announced special signups in 8 states for cost share assistance for cover crops under the Environmental Quality Incentives Program. That's the EQIP program. Participating states include Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, and South Dakota, though Lohr said he expects that list to grow. Now, details on sign-up vary by state, so growers are encouraged to visit a local NRCS office for sign-up assistance. USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey said Prevent plant acres this year could climb above $1 billion. Now, details are still, of course, as has been the case with just about everything else here, including the MFP, details are being hammered out now, are not being released. I'm not sure which is the case. I would say the latter is probably the case. Get in touch with your local NRCS office for sign-up assistance on that, for the MFP payments on Prevent Plant. Now, President Trump claims renewed trade talks with China have already begun, and China reports it plans to reduce some tariffs and ease restrictions on foreign investments, although U.S. Trade Rep Bob Lighthizer noted he had no scheduling announcements to make at this time. Now, on a related note, Creighton University's June Mid-America Business Conditions Index signaled positive growth in the Midwest. The survey found 71.1% of supply managers in the region supported Trump's tariff strategy with China. One supply manager said, quote, While President Trump takes heat for the trade tariffs, this seems to be the only tool in the tool chest currently that can make a difference. But he also said America's farmers are at a breaking point, however patriotic they may be. Now, while meeting with President Xi at the G20 summit last weekend, Trump says the Chinese leader asked Trump to ease sanctions on North Korea in regards to its nuclear program. And interestingly, the following day, conspicuously, Trump visited North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in the Korean Demilitarized Zone. And as we noted yesterday, Trump was actually the first sitting U.S. president to set foot into North Korea. Interesting there. The U.S. Trade Representative's Office has released a $4 billion list of additional goods from the European Union that could be targeted with retaliatory tariffs. And I want to talk to Jim about this because I kind of still don't understand the EU tariff kerfuffle thing, but it keeps popping up, so it must be a thing. The list of those that could be targeted with retaliatory tariffs include Italian cheese, Scotch whiskey, meats, chemicals, and metals, among others. The tariffs are part of an ongoing scuffle with the World Trade Organization related to subsidies granted to Airbus and to Boeing. And finally, sources in Iran report that country has now exceeded the limit on its stockpile of enriched uranium. That's in defiance of the 2015 nuclear deal, although experts believe Tehran lacks the ability to develop a nuclear bomb. President Trump warned the country is, quote, playing with fire. Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham told reporters, quote, maximum pressure on the Iranian regime will continue until its leaders alter their course of action. And that's some of the headlines from today. Let's bring in Farm Journal Milk's Mike Opperman. Mike, how you doing today, buddy boy?
Good. Let's wrap this up. I got to get out and buy some scotch.
Yeah, I think you'd better hurry. Oh, man, that's going to be real deal stuff if we put a tariff on
that
scotch whiskey.
That hits home, Davis.
Well, update us, fill us in on the dairy margin coverage signups. Where are we at on that? We started signups in mid-June. Where are we so far?
Well, it started June 16th, and in the first 10 days of the program, just over 5,000 producers signed up. So fairly good number.
Okay.
Within the program, there's two different levels. You know, the first tier pays back at a 950 coverage level on the first 5 million pounds, and 98% of the people that signed up chose that coverage. So so it's pretty indicative of where they were at. And also, as part of the program, you know, you can, if you enrolled in the margin protection program, you can get a payment credit for being enrolled in that program. And 3,000 producers took that credit and paid their DMC premiums from it. So, and about 1,400 producers who are enrolled in the MPP took that premium as cash. So, so that's where we're at right now with dairy margin coverage program. And again, producers can sign up through the end of September through September 20th. Mm-hmm. And it really, it's almost like free money because it's retroactive back to January 1st. So if you sign up, you're going to get, probably going to get paid for your margins being below, you know, certain levels, whatever you sign up for. So, so producers should go out and get it taken care of.
Okay. Real quickly, another note you made here, sending more cows to slaughter, helping to support milk prices. Go.
Yeah, so over the first 5 months of 2019, culling is up about 75,000 head. So that's been really helping to drive production down and crop prices up.
All right, Mike Opperman, thanks for spending some time with us today, buddy.
You bet.
Coming right up on AgriTalk, your pal Davis Michelson here. We'll have Roxy Beck, Consumer Engagement Director from the Center for Food Integrity, right after these words.
With recent advancements in technology and more usable data being created than ever before, the future is bright for agriculture. The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture collects hyperlocal Internet of Things data to create an electronic field record that is deliverable on a scalable, security-rich cloud platform. The solution applies AI and predictive analytics to this data to generate actionable, field-specific insights that food companies, grain processors, produce distributors, and farmers can use to help improve crop management. At IBM, we help agribusinesses accelerate their journey to cloud and transform into cognitive enterprises by combining Watson AI with accurate weather and farm data to help growers around the world make better decisions about preseason planning, plowing, planting, spraying, and harvesting. To learn more, visit ibm.biz/agriculture.
Built over generations, the dairy is what gets you up in the morning and sometimes keeps you up at night. To say you're invested is an understatement. Merck Animal Health Brands have a 50-year history of providing the products dairy herds need to stay healthy. With innovation, passion, and integrity, we'll do what's right for your operation and for you. This is why Merck Animal Health works. Visit MAHcattle.com to see how Merck Animal Health can work for you.
Not in the market for a new planter, but looking to get better performance next season? Bring your trusted John Deere planter up to speed with our ExactEmerge upgrade kit. Hit the ground running without compromising singulation, population, spacing, or uniform depth. And now through July 15th, you can save 12% off the ExactEmerge and individual row hydraulic downforce upgrade kits. Visit your John Deere dealer today.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Diacon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast that's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis Michelson in for the vacationing Chip Fleury. I'd also point out, I had a terrific conversation with Andrew McCray in anticipation of the holiday coming up, and we've got some of that to broadcast for you good folks, so tune in for that and make sure that you stay tuned to AgriTalk through the 4th and whatever you might be doing. As you know, I've got a long weekend coming up and I'm looking forward to it, I'll be honest, and through radio magic we were able to put together some fantastic programs for you. So do tune in as the week comes to a close. At Sarah Lovis 1, thanks for the shout out there. Yes, with the term oofta yesterday in the intro. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate the support. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Okay, my next guest, Consumer Engagement Director at the Center for Food Integrity, Roxy Beck. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to AgriTalk. Good morning.
Good morning. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely. Just give us kind of a 50,000-foot view of what a consumer engagement director does at the Center for Food Integrity.
I like to explain it as we are the handshake between what's going on in food and farming to those who are actually eating the products that we create. So we look at the research that focuses on consumer trends in an effort to help the food system, everybody in agriculture, earn consumer trust and confidence.
Oh, I love that. A handshake between the grower and the consumer.
Absolutely.
That can't be an easy spot to be in sometimes.
It is an interesting place. I grew up on a dairy farm in southeastern Minnesota, so
I'm
have
a dairy
a great
gal. All right, yeah.
You bet. Great appreciation, understanding for the passion, the drive, the pure focus that is agriculture. And now I find myself in suburbia, surrounded by a bunch of folks who really love eating, yet don't really understand where food comes from. So I appreciate being right in the middle of either the handshake or the clash.
Depending
on what conversation you're in, and helping people understand more, and perhaps in some cases understand that their expectations of this great food system we have are better aligned with what's actually going on than maybe they perceive.
Okay.
And also with the caveat that we're always striving to do things better in the name of sustainability, efficiency, productivity for future generations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, although no one's perfect, we're always striving to do better.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'm just gonna read right off the top here from a press release from your organization from earlier in June, with the byline "Strap in, environmental pressure is accelerating." It says conversation about the environment is growing, and so is the scrutiny applied to consumption of natural resources. If you think it's intense now, hold on tight, because every indication is pressure will intensify by multiples, and agriculture will be pressed like never before. Can you clarify that for us? Explain what you mean by that.
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the first baselines that's important for everybody to understand is we in agriculture for decades have been so focused on sustainability, but we've used different terms to talk about sustainability. So we've been very good about talking about productivity, efficiency, profitability. And I think in the mind of most farmers, most agribusinesses, those all are equation. You have direct correlation to sustainability. But what's going on in today's world is that sustainability is not really well defined. And that creates some gray area. And it's an opportunity for those who are on the front lines of food, those who are putting out consumer products, whether it's food or other product categories, to be able to say, this is what sustainability means to us. And whether it's Unilever putting those on front of packaging for, those in-home products like soaps and shampoos and other products that we use on a day-to-day basis, or food companies like PepsiCo that are utilizing these to talk about the way that foods came to be, we're seeing drastic increases in people opting into these types of products. There are a couple, actually, studies that we've seen recently that specifically focus on how people are opting into products that are in this sustainability attribute category. So whether it's Nielsen talking about how sustainable food products are on the rise, they're saying that 48% of consumers are definitely or probably changing their consumption habits to reduce impacts on environment. And as many of you all know, sustainability is definitely on the mind of millennials. Millennials are saying 75% of millennials say that they're opting into these types of sustainable products, whereas baby boomers are skewed lower than that. 34% of those are definitely or probably opting in. We know this is on the rise. We know that when people have the opportunity to opt into something they feel is a better purchase, especially if there's a similar price point, they're likely to do it, because we're all seeing news about climate change. We're all seeing drastic weather events or experiencing them ourselves. You know, here I'm in Des Moines, in the Midwest. We've definitely been hit, but also you see places like Guadalajara, Mexico, had this major hailstorm just over the past couple days. It's middle of summer there. So huge things are making people pay attention in a different way, and they're tying it directly back to sustainability, saying, what can I do to help in this situation?
Well, and sustainability is kind of one of those words, and sometimes when I hear it, I have to be honest, Roxy, it's a little bit like fingernails on the chalkboard, because it feels like, you know, within that sustainability – And you say people are choosing to opt in for, you know, different products based on how they feel. That sustainability is a moving target. And it's a gray area, absolutely. And I feel like that's very convenient for those who just want to start pointing fingers at agriculture and say, oh, they don't care about the environment. They're just out here to make money. And meanwhile, you know, those same people who are pointing fingers, for example, maybe have no idea what organic actually means. They just buy it because it says organic on the label or says sustainable on the label. So are they really responding to a movement or are they responding to these buzzwords?
Yes. All in. I think a couple of things are true. Absolutely, farmers are focused on profit. If we don't have that, our businesses don't exist. So
well, sure.
let's not brag about it. Let's not let that be our only talking point.
Right.
But let's not also lose sight of the fact that we need it to have businesses that run. The other side of this is we forget, again, as I opened, I said, we've been focused on sustainability for generations here.
Right.
We've just not talked about it in the way that the consumer can say, oh, yes, I'm with you. And I think another really important thing to understand is although people might have their benchmark for what is going on today's farm based on whatever, you know, farming, you know, agriculture book they might buy on Amazon for their child, or maybe if they still visit a physical, you know, store, maybe they're going to Barnes and Noble.
Right.
Just for the sake of education or entertainment sometime, go and look at one of those books on farming, and you're going to see exactly what you might suspect. A red barn, multiple species of livestock lingering together, maybe even talking.
Right.
It's not the picture of today's agriculture. So people are confused, conflicted, etc. when they see those and then actually see pictures of real agriculture and then throw in some controversy where there's an undercover video and
right.
we get all sorts of fuel that adds to this fire that is the rage that consumers are trying to opt out of.
Right.
Consumers find it very easy to opt out of something they either don't understand or they think incites risk. If you fear something, it's much easier to just say, you know what, I'm going to abstain from that. I'm not going
right.
to be involved in it. And until I get signals from my peer group, from the external world, from maybe a shift in the food marketplace, I'm going to stay away from that. And I think that's one of those places where organic has played a role. People don't really fully, most people don't fully understand what the USDA certified organic seal means,
right.
but they do know that it stands for something. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, it's something tied to sustainability or doing something better.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand all of the process that a farmer would go through. They don't understand the soil health component, but they understand there's an outcome that they think is worthy of supporting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've had huge sustainability advancements over the last 50, 60, 70 years in this industry. And again, we have an opportunity to say, sustainability, you're right, it is imperative, and we have a great story to tell. And by the way, the other awesome silver lining is that
yes.
although agriculture is sort of misunderstood or not understood, farmers are incredibly well-trusted and well-regarded.
Huh.
So if we can do more to put farmers' voices real on the farm, boots on the dirt, kind of imagery and conversations, allow them to happen in an authentic way, we will have that opportunity to increase trust
okay.
because the farmer's voice is absolutely trusted.
Okay. Well, we're running short on time here, but really quickly, tell me what average Joe farmer can do to help support your efforts in making farming better understood.
Certainly. I would say every opportunity you have to get in front of a local group of leaders, community-involved folks that want to know more about what's going on farms, give yourself that opportunity. It doesn't have to be super formalized,
mm-hmm.
but the minute that you show that you're accessible and open to conversation, the more those doors will remain open. I would say if you're a person that loves to be online, put up a couple pictures. Do
mm-hmm.
some short videos that you've created, leveraging the great, in our hand tools like smartphones that
right,
are going
right.
to allow us to say, here's what's going on a daily basis. And then make sure that you take an opportunity to engage in the critical conversations day to day with friends, family,
right.
and connected community partners.
Right on. Roxy Beck, thanks. We're going to talk again real soon. Roxy Beck from the Center for Food Integrity. Stick around for more AgriTalk, everybody.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
and try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining me now, Brian Grady from Pro Farmer. Brian, got a little strength in the corn market today. What's your thought?
Just a little bit, Davis. Yeah. You know, we were lower overnight. Nope. We toyed with that.
Sounds like we may have lost
in December corn futures, and yeah. You know, it just we bounce a little bit here when we get to the daytime trade, but not. Not a whole lot of buyer interest.
And soybeans continued lower. They were off to a decent start yesterday, but then reversed course at some point in the mid-morning, and we're lower again today.
Yeah, just under pressure. So I think that, you know, soybeans are struggling to find a reason for buyers in this marketplace right now. Just we're drifting. I don't see a whole lot of interest in adding to the long side, the short side, anything here in this holiday week. You know, it's just kind of a malaise. And in the case of soybeans, that means that we're under some pressure.
Boy, I do love mayonnaise. Winter wheat, same stuff. Harvest pressure here?
The harvest is progressing. We've seen that pick up. We're getting reports of better than expected yields throughout the southern plains. And so, you know, it's hard in any type of year, even when we have a lesser crop in those years, to find buyer interest during the harvest season. So I think that that's a lot of what's going on here in the wheat market today.
Little strength in the livestock. Have we heard from the cash markets in either the cattle or the hogs yet this week?
The cash hogs, they continue to drift lower, but we're seeing strength in the future. So I think that they anticipate that we're getting close to a low there, which would be a contra-seasonal low like we've talked about. On the cattle side of things, still waiting on cash trade. Probably going to go early this week because of Thursday's holiday.
All right, that sounds great. That's Brian Grady, editor of Pro Farmer on Markets Now.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI.
Isn't it nice just to hear Chip's voice? Even on a little recorded promo like that? That's outstanding. He'll be back next week. I've got Jim Wiesmeyer standing by. Now, after talking to Roxy Beck, and I really, really appreciate what she's doing over there at the Center for Food Integrity. She's got a tough job coming in between a misunderstood agriculture industry and an equally misunderstood growing urban population who has these words that they're trying to live up to, sustainability, organic, all natural, conservation, without really understanding what those things mean. And I hear you out there, Ag USA. I mean, imagine comparing the air or water quality, say, in my beloved county, Grundy County, Iowa, to that where these urban residents are Los Angeles, New York, Tampa, you know, you name it, and we're the ones who aren't concerned with the environment. Jim, talk to me about what does sustainability mean to folks who just maybe don't understand agriculture and don't understand the farmer's role as the original conservationist?
It should be a balance between production sustainability, the right sustainability, but economic, you know, sustainability, the ability to stay in business.
Right. Because making a profit doesn't necessarily make one evil. It just means that they want to keep being able to finance doing what they're currently doing, correct?
Yeah. How can you give back if you don't get anything? Is the message I like to give.
Right. Well, I just kind of wanted to put a pin in that idea. I would like to talk to Roxy again at some point. Jim, we're skipping the Friday free-for-all, and we always enjoy your comments, your insights, and what's going on in Washington. So I thought I'd just run down a couple of ideas here. You game?
Sure.
All right. From yesterday, you wrote for Pro Farmer, U.S. Senator blocking USDA nominees over biofuel waivers in reference to Senator John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. And since then, other senators have joined the request, obviously mostly from oil, you know, producing states. And they want basically USDA Secretary Sonny, you know, Perdue to stay out of the issue. And they're withholding, at least Senator Kennedy, is putting a hold on three USDA, nominees. Now, this has happened before, as you know, because Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, held up the nomination of Northey to be Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA. And he was angered by, how biofuel interest were getting, you know, promises from the White House. So, you know, this has a history to it. Will they succeed? I don't think so. But there is still an unannounced decision on the waivers, the RFS reset, the volume requirements that's probably going to come out this week, any day now, but prior probably to, you know, July the 4th. But this is at least gets the White House and USDA's attention from the crude oil industry.
Okay. Very good. Let's move on to this this announcement yesterday. MFP payments for Prevent Plant Acres. As far as I know, we don't have a whole lot of details on this. Can you fill in any gaps for us at all?
Not really. They release periodically some updates, and I think that's going into farm income estimates and things like that. But you know, thank goodness they're there. Coupled with the higher prices we're seeing for a number of, you know, commodities, especially corn and soybeans of late, as long as you have a crop. Mm-hmm. This is all boding well, lifting the spirits of more U.S. farmers. I know I saw the Perdue poll, but I think it's primarily the price run up that we've seen a better mood on farmers.
Isn't it funny how that works?
Yes. If you have a crop. Yeah.
Right. All right. So, well, that reminds me of a tweet, and I'm trying to think. I can't remember who tweeted it out. But yesterday, someone had raised the question for our guest Dan Huber about, hey, look, if we've got 91.7 million acres of corn planted, why all this talk about Prevent Plant Acres? And I think the implication there, which I caught on to after the show, as, you know, sometimes happens, is that, hey, look, they must know that there's more Prevent Plant out there. They must know that 91.7 million acres weren't planted. I don't mean to kick a dead horse here, but we're going to get a resurvey. Is the fact that there's so much focus on Prevent Plant Acres kind of a tell that they don't see 91.7 million acres of corn actually having been planted?
Well, yes, I think I'm glad Chip's not on the program right now because he would probably have other comments. But yeah. I thought going into this June 28th acreage report, I mean, based on 40 years of covering over 40 of covering USDA, I don't know what these grain industry analysts thought by thinking NASS in their survey would come up with such a low corn planted numbers from when they took the survey. Right. When they took the survey, farmers were still hoping to get the corn seed in the ground.
So sure, there was still time.
Yes, it was a short speculator's dream for the inability of the majority, I guess, of grain traders to figure out a very simple thing to me. And you'll probably get comments on that. But I'm sorry, they didn't do their homework.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. And you know, to their credit, they have agreed to resurvey at least 14 states. And we'll get those updates in August, correct?
Yeah, they didn't really say that, but that's what they've done in prior years. So I'm fairly comfortable about saying that. And NAS did the right thing. I mean, I said on ProFarmer.com the morning before the acreage report came out, this report was not for the junk pile because it was a snapshot in time, and you can analyze that report from that basis. And I think it gave some signals of prevent plant when you dug into the report.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, thanks for that, Jim. Sure. I want to move on to China. There have been apparently some concessions made that I guess there were some warm fuzzies passed between Trump and Xi at this G20 summit. I'm a little concerned that Trump is giving ground on Huawei. Are you concerned? Is it a national security threat? Am I blowing it out of proportion?
Well, in some instances, they're a national security threat. But what I think Trump accurately did is he made it more flexible. If you can prove that there's no national security concern, U.S. businesses can sell them their products. And that's what he was lobbied change, and he delivered. There's still a national security component, but I just think he made it more flexible, and that gave China a pre-talk concession inked off, and then Trump got some things as well.
Okay. Now, you also highlighted the notion that President Xi had suggested Trump go easy on North Korea, and then the following day, Trump winds up the first sitting president to step onto North Korean soil. What do you make of that?
Well, I think these are all linked, and I don't. If U.S. administration officials say these are not linked, I'm sorry, they are. And this is what you get into with high power talks and deals. And so, absolutely, this was another concession. Both Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping, they want an agreement. But sure. I'll tell you, from what I'm hearing from both China consultants that we monitor and talk with, and Trump administration people, this thing's going to take a few months again. I know grain traders and farmers want it done ASAP, but I think it's going to take longer, and that's what U.S. officials are saying.
Okay. Real quickly, this is unfair of me to ask you to do. Can you give us the Reader's Digest version of the EU trade scuffle? What's the deal over there? We got Scotch whiskey involved now. I'm very concerned, Jim.
Well, it dates back 14 years, and the tit-for-tat fight is the U.S. belief that Europe unfairly subsidizes its domestic airline manufacturer, that's Airbus, and right. We have an equivalent view in Europe that the U.S. unfairly subsidizes Boeing. And it's gone on for 14 years. So that tells me this could come to a head now, because we have $21 billion plus another $4 billion in proposed tariffs, and they have almost likewise against us. This is going to go to the WTO.
Okay. Very good. One more I just got to ask you about. How freaked out are you about the Iran situation? Tehran reports they have now exceeded the limit from the 2015 nuclear deal on its stockpile of enriched uranium. But as I understand it, they're unable to manufacture a delivery device, a nuclear bomb, basically.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about Iran?
Well, you have to be concerned. It should be at or near the top of any geopolitical concern. But, Iran gave an interesting comment either late yesterday or this morning. I'm not quite sure when. But they signaled they wanted some talks with the White House relative to the respect that Trump is giving North Korea. Uh-huh. So that was interesting. I think hopefully we will have the two sides talk. There's nothing wrong with talking. So I think that would temper a lot of the high anxiety.
Jim, you've been out in Washington, D.C. for a good long time, a good chunk of your career. What's it like to celebrate Independence Day in our nation's capital?
Oh, I'm going downtown to see those tanks cross. And
are you?
No, I wouldn't miss that for the first time. Yeah, it's a good feel. You get the tingle in your arms and things like that. Definitely. It's just one of the best places to be.
That's outstanding. And you might want to get that tingle checked out by a doctor, Jim. I'm just saying. That's Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, all the way from Washington, D.C. Jim, thanks for spending some time with us and setting us straight, brother.
I'm tingle-free today.
Attaboy, attaboy. Glad to hear it. Come back. We'll have more AgriTalk for you. I will be talking with Justin Kern, a spokesperson from the American Red Cross. We're going to talk a little safety, and it's not a bad place to end today's conversation. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Dicon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Dicon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erased generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans. If you use dual-ended combat arms earplugs and suffer hearing loss or tinnitus, you may be entitled to compensation. The manufacturer agreed to pay millions to settle allegations it sold defective earplugs to the military that were standard issue to soldiers deployed between 2003 and 2015. If you served during those years, were issued combat arms earplugs, and suffer from hearing loss or tinnitus, call now.
Call 800-820-1659. That's 800-820-1659.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk. A little safety dance for you there, right here on AgriTalk. Thanks for tuning in on your favorite ag radio station or preferred digital device. Always glad to have you good folks along. That was Jim Wiesmeyer. Heck of a nice little download there for him. I thought you might like that since we're going to be unable to have him for the Friday free-for-all, as is our custom. But of course, we've got holiday stuff going on this weekend. We've still got fantastic shows lined up for you. Believe me, you're going to love it. So stay tuned, even as the holiday unfolds here for you. And speaking of the holiday, safety is a concern over the holiday, especially this one in particular. I've kind of been mentioning it, and I don't mean to sound like a hall monitor, okay? But, you know, as a broadcast professional, it is my duty to ensure the safety of our listening audience so that you can keep tuning in the future. Justin Kern is here to join us now from the American Red Cross. Mr. Kern, thank you for spending some time with us today on AgriTalk.
Thank you for having me on to share with the audience, and mad props for the whistling along with the Men at Work song. Well done.
Well, thank you. I've got to show my talents when I can. You know, I have right. So few of them. I've got to use them when I can. Justin, what is your role over at the American Red Cross, and what have you got for us today?
Yeah, I'm the communications officer for the state of Wisconsin, so I'm based out here in Milwaukee and get to cover the Badger State. I know we've got a lot of great fireworks lined up by some professionals that I'm looking forward to watching this coming week, getting out and barbecuing, maybe getting out and swimming, so trying to take advantage of the good weather and the fun aspects of the holiday.
Yeah, finally going to get a chance to maybe get some grilling done, get some outdoor activities done. This spring has kind of put a crimp on that, but I would reckon part of your message is it is possible to overdo it on the fun scale. Agreed?
Well, absolutely. You know, I think of things like fireworks in particular, right? And it's one of those ones where obviously best left to the professionals. And it's one of those things that, I feel like we've been about 10 months since we've had any semblance of summer out here in Wisconsin. So
right.
when people, you know, get those fireworks again, sometimes maybe overdo it or miss on some of those ways to prepare and stay safe when you're having a good time with a fireworks display.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of those ways to prepare and to stay safe that some people might tend to miss if they're not paying attention?
Sure. I mean, first and foremost, you want to leave it to the professionals. But if you're doing your own setting off fireworks, you want to make sure the person doing it, has some eye protection. You want to make sure you don't kind of relight those dud fireworks that don't seem to go off. And you never want to give fireworks to small children or aim them at people, at animals, at vehicles, structures, anything flammable, of course. And the thing I'm thinking about, Wisconsin, we've got a lot of forested and wooded areas. You know, you want to make sure you observe kind of those burn and fire warnings, too, before you did anything like fireworks, something where you could find information very quickly with the DNR or Forest Service, just to stay safe from that perspective.
Sure, because, you know, it's super fun to light off things that shoot up into the sky and explode and make pretty lights and the crackling sounds and stuff. But in truth, I mean, some pretty serious injuries can result just to the people standing by, and especially to the person lighting those suckers off.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to turn something that is so fun and done so well by professionals. You don't want to turn that into something that that becomes a tragedy. While you're just celebrating with friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about now? We're kind of jumping topics here just a little bit, but I know that the American Red Cross is great about blood drives and stuff like that. Where are we at? Do you have as much blood as you need? Do you need more? What would you say to our listeners on that?
Yeah, I mean, the need for blood is constant, and you probably hear that a lot from us. But right now, we're, as I understand it, around 3 days on the shelves worth of supply. And it's the kind of thing where we see a lot of times because of the holiday, because school's out, is some of the drives dip, some of the donations dip. So if you are able to give, and a lot of people, they may not think they're able to give or haven't donated in a long time, we do make it pretty easy and quick for you to be able to make a life-saving blood donation. So, summertime in particular, July and August, really encourage people to get out, make a blood donation if you're able to.
You mentioned you've got about a 3-day supply on hand. Are you comfortable with that number? What would be your goal if you could have an X day supply on hand? What do you really need to stay afloat?
Yeah, I mean it's tricky because that need is so constant. So and it varies. I know O negative and O positive are also something we're really looking. If you have those blood types, that's in a special need for us right now. And also if you're able to give platelets, that kind of thing. I mean, there are a lot of blood products that hospitals use for people that maybe are going through different cancer treatments, that kind of thing. That special products that if you're able to make that kind of donation, it just helps that much more.
Yeah, yeah. So you're out of Milwaukee. You're out there by the lake.
I am right on Lake Michigan. I can see it from my office right now.
Oh, that sounds lovely. So what do you Lake Michiganders do on an Independence Day holiday?
Well, I am planning to barbecue with my wife and our family for certain. It's one of the things that we like to share some of the barbecue safety tips too. It's the kind of thing, again, maybe you haven't barbecued in a while, but you want to make sure you're observing those same food handling practices you would inside. Watching your barbecue. We had one of the local police stations out here shared a picture that they came across someone who had latched a barbecue grill on their second story window. So you want to make sure you don't do anything wild or crazy like that. Make sure you give plenty of space for the grill and you keep it away from the house and make sure everyone's safe so you can have a good meal and really enjoy the holiday in full.
I would throw in a little experience I had just the other day. Now, my grill was not lit. I used a charcoal grill, but I had my dog, and she's a pup, so I've got her on a leash. I was taking her outside. She got tangled up in the grill with her leash and took off running and dragged that puppy all the way across the yard. And I thought to myself, imagine if it was lit. That could have been kind of a nasty deal.
Absolutely. You want to make sure that pets and everyone else that shouldn't be near the grill or have some space away from that grill to stay safe.
Outstanding. Justin Kern from the American Red Cross, thanks for spending some time with us, and thanks for your concern. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Happy July 4th. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you, beloved listener, tuning in today to AgriTalk. This afternoon, we've got Ted Seifert with Karen Braun. You're going to want to check that out. And thanks for joining us this morning.
This is Dave Robbins reporting from what can only be described as a cornfield under attack. With me is Jim Stafford, a local corn grower. Jim, what's happening here?
Mites, banks, two-spotted and carmine, you name it. This corn is under attack.
What are the plans, if any, to deal with this serious situation?
Well, we're not going to stand for it. We're going to fight the mite.
How?
ZLSC Miticide. Just one application by Grounder Air gives long-lasting mite control. Now that field corn, popcorn, corn for seed, and corn grown for silage are all labeled, mites don't stand a chance.
But what about their eggs?
ZLSC affects mites in all stages, even eggs.
What kind of timetable are we talking about?
ZLSC reaches mites under the leaf where they feed and hide with translaminar activity. For long-lasting protection after a single application, apply ZLSC at early threshold or as a preventative treatment.
ZLSC. It lasts so mites can't. Contact your local Valent representative or Valent authorized retailer for more information. Always read and follow label instructions.
The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, leveraging unique data, analytics, and predictive insights to help growers make more informed, confident decisions.